You're listening to a message from New Life Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Thank you. Well, Annette said, you can leave now. You see when she told the interns to do that. I've heard that before, you know. You can leave now, you know. God is good, isn't he? We're going to talk next week, and we're going to begin a series called Family Life. And we're going to start to teach on marriage and parenting, what it is to raise kids during this time, this age, this era. And I really want you to begin to pray and think about that. We're going to deal with the single life. What is it like to be single in the world we live in? So it's all parts of family life. And so I'm pretty excited about that. I think it's needed. I think it's timely. We need to talk about that and see it from a biblical perspective. Before we go any further, I want to do something with you this morning. I'd like you all just to stand with me. Would you just stand? We're going to do something together. Today is the 15th anniversary of 9/11/2001. And so today we want to honor those that have fallen. 2,977 people lost their lives. 6,000 people were injured in that attack. And what we do today is we honor their memory. For many of them, I'm sure it still feels like it was yesterday. And what we do today as we gather is we remember them and we pray for them and we honor them. And we do that in Jesus' name. So if you would just direct your attention to the screen. This is something that Renee got up this morning, just really felt on her heart. And I want to read it to you. It says, we remember all who suffered then and suffer still. We honor those who ran toward the suffering with no thought of themselves. We pray that honoring their sacrifice and by the power of Christ, we may do the same. Would you bow your head in silence for just a moment? Father, you are the God of comfort. You come, you bring comfort, and you bring peace where we need it the most. And for those families, Lord Jesus, those loved ones that are here today, that have loved ones that were lost during the 9/11 attack, we pray that deep peace and comfort be theirs in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the men and women who gave their lives without even thought. They just ran into the tragedy. They ran into the flames. They ran into the brokenness. We just thank you and we remember their lives today, their families as well. Bring peace and comfort to our nation. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. With that in mind, what I would like you to do and think about in these next few days, October 5th is the first Wednesday of October. We're setting that day aside to pray and fast for our nation, and we'd like you to be part of that. We want to invite you to be part of that praying and fasting, that day where we set aside, we pray for our nation. Our nation is going into an election, November, the 1st of November. There are a lot of things that we need to be aware of. We are broken people. We have broken government. We have broken people. We have broken systems. And what we need to know is this. We need to know that God is the God who heals. And God is the God who leads. God is the God who guides. And so for us to seek him and to know him, And to really take some time and pause and pray, I think that is something that we all need to do. And by the way, we're going to be setting aside the first Wednesday of every month for this next year to pray and fast. And just seek the face of the Lord for our well-being, for the well-being of those people that we come in contact with, for our families, for this nation. We really do. We want to do that. And so I want to invite you again to join October 5th. We're going to pray for our nation. Hey, listen, we have something coming up. A few things that are happening. We have MTI that is starting tonight. What is MTI? It's Ministry Training Institute. And this is great. This is a great place for you to really know what it means to dive in deeper to becoming a disciple. In fact, if you go through MTI, Ministry Training Institute, you finish the program, you get 9 credits through Canby Bible College. It's incredible. So we've had students already do that. We've had our pilot group go through. We want to invite you, if you're just thinking, where do I go next? What do I do? How do I follow Christ in a deeper, more meaningful way? MTI is a great place to do that. They start tonight, so you can check your bulletin. There's going to be a table out in the lobby. You can check out there, but we want you to be part of that. We want you to grow in Jesus. So keep that up, and remember, we've got some things here that really help us grow and become disciples in Jesus. Hey, for those that have been praying for my father, I want to thank you for that. He's been in the hospital for the most of 10 days. He had to deal with some internal bleeding, but the doctors got a hold of it. They got it under control. God's guided their hand. We're thankful. He comes home today, and so thank you for your prayers. Yeah, thank you for, really do. Thank you for your prayers. We really appreciate that. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to just close out. We've been talking about family values and what family values are. Family values are things that we believe and we practice. And sometimes you believe things and you practice things you don't even know you believe and you practice. Do you know that? Because it comes out in our actions. It comes out in our words. It comes out in our expression. And we have family values that we want to continue to put in front of you, talk about, and practice. And today, what I want to do is look forward. Remember, we talked about our history last time I shared with you. Today, we want to look forward a little bit. What is God calling us to? What does it look like for us to move ahead into the future? Well, what it looks like is living sideways. If you remember about 3 years ago, really, the Lord gave us this vision, this heart, and actually, when that happens, resources follow to reach out into community, to love our neighbors, to take care of those who cannot and may not be able to take care of themselves. What do we do here? One of the core values, the central core value, is we keep the main thing, and that is who? Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it again. We keep the main thing, and that is Jesus. Jesus Christ. He's the centerpiece. He's the one who holds everything together for us. And we're here to make disciples who make disciples. I love Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. Been reading it a lot lately. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him. I don't know if you've ever read that closely before and just pondered, what is happening here? What's taking place? Because sometimes when you read scripture, the obvious is what stands out, obviously. But then you look and you see some of the things that are going on between the lines. There are a couple words here that I love to think about. I love to think about the word saw. Jesus saw. Now imagine that. Imagine just for a moment that the creator of the universe sees you. I mean, that's going to go deep because he's going to see my brokenness. He's going to see my sin. He's going to see my pain. He's going to see everything about me. When it says that Jesus sees you or Jesus saw those disciples, you need to think about that further and deeper than just a physical impression of who you are, because he's seeing the need that we have for salvation. He's seeing the need we have for redemption. When Jesus sees us, it's piercing. It is piercing when he sees us. But the great thing about our Lord, the great thing about our Savior is when he sees all of our brokenness, sees our sin, he still invites us into a relationship with him. Come, follow me. That's amazing. When I think about making disciples that make disciples and where does that really begin, I think about it in this way. I think about it in seeing others around us. That God would open our eyes because we have been seen. How many know what it's like to be seen by, let's say, someone important? And Jesus, would you say, is important? That Jesus has seen you, that he has seen you, and I want to say it again, that he has seen you. When Jesus sees you, what it does for us, what it does for me, is it creates this value, this purpose, that there's a plan for my life. Why? Because he has the one that has seen me. It's incredible. And when you're seen by someone who is important, someone who you admire, someone you look up to, it makes all the difference in the world when they see you, when they recognize you, when they value you. I remember the first time that happened for me. I was 10 years old. There were some high school kids that were kind of running around the youth group, and they stopped and asked me, they invited me to go somewhere with them, to go hang out with them. I'm thinking, 10 years old, I'm hanging out with these high school, good high school guys. I remember what it felt like. I remember what it felt like to be seen, to be noticed. I want you to stop and think what it feels like to be seen, to be noticed. Remember a time in your life that happened to you by a loved one, by a person of influence in your life, by someone you admired, someone you respected. They saw you. I mean, really, they saw you. Encouraging, isn't it? Goes deep into the spirit. What it means to make disciples and make disciples is that now that we've been seen, we need to see others. Because you have been seen, now we see. God's given us the eyes to look, to see, to find value in other people, to find value in what God is up to in other people's lives. And I love that about my relationship with Jesus Christ, as he has seen me. And now when I go to the places that I go through the course of the day, he's given me eyes to see. And what that might do to someone, what that might do to a young person, what that might do to an older person, what that might do to my peers when I actually see them and I value them and I encourage them and I call out God's purpose in their life. Amazing. That's where making disciples that make disciples really begins. It's right here in Matthew chapter 4. The key there, the secret is seeing. But seeing with the eyes of Jesus. Not the eyes of judgment. Not through the eyes of religion. Not through the eyes of disdain or bitterness or unforgiveness, but through the eyes of Christ, through the eyes of Jesus. And I'll tell you, that'll rock your world. That'll change everything you do. When you say, God, I want to see people like you see people, give me your eyes to see. It'll change everything. It'll change the way you live life. It'll change the way you go about your day. It absolutely changes everything. And where do we begin seeing? Where is the most fertile ground of seeing? Jesus went to the seashores of Galilee. He went to fishermen. He knew that there was a place there. He knew there was someone there that would receive him. For me, and I think for this church, it's always been this. It's always been the children of our community. It's always been the children of our church. We start seeing. We start seeing with the eyes of Jesus, our kids. Jesus said, let the children come to me. You know why? Because no one else was really seeing them. That's what was happening. Did you notice that? No one else really saw or paid attention to the children, to the broken, to the poor. Jesus was always saying, guys, you need to check your attitudes at the door. You need to check your pride at the door because these people need to come to me. These are the people I came for. I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. That's why I'm here. I came for the little ones. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. So what we want to do is we want to follow the pattern of Jesus Christ in our community. And one of the places that we saw this, and this is gives us reason to celebrate, it gives us reasons to get excited. We saw this in Vacation Bible School 2016. I mean, some amazing, amazing things happened for us. And I want to celebrate that. Go ahead and roll the pictures now. I want to celebrate what God did here in this place, on this campus. And I want to say this to you. Because of your hospitality, because of your heart, people feel welcomed here. People find this to be a very, very warm place to come. We've had so many comments given to us by people in the community that came to a VBS or other events that we've had here, and I'll show you a few in a moment. But they've come here and they've said, wow, this is really inviting. And they say it this way. Often you hear it this way. I don't know what it is, but I just feel welcomed. You know what it is? It really is the love of Christ seen through you. That you have a willingness, that you have a desire to see others like Christ sees them. And that makes all the difference in the world. And I'll tell you, lives are changed. Children's lives are changed when there are people around them that see them like Jesus sees them. It makes all the difference in the world. You know what I love about this place? I love about this place is that we can give everybody an opportunity to belong. Everyone has a hands-on mentality. We saw it yesterday, and I'll talk about it in a minute, but we see it all the time, including our kids. We want them to know that they are part of the kingdom of God. We want them to know that they're part of what's going on. I remember it wasn't too long ago, and you can still see them. I'm looking out there and I'm seeing them right now. But on our doors, if you go out those glass doors, you're going to see little fingerprints all over those doors. Have you noticed that? There was a time and a season, and maybe we'll do it again. Renee, make a note for me. We might do this again. I told our great team that makes us ready for you every week, I said, do not clean those fingerprints off. Leave them there. We need to be reminded why we're here. Because we get caught up as adults doing our own thing. We do. And we forget to see. We forget to look. We forget to notice. And anything we can do, anything I can do to help you remember what we're doing here, I'm going to do it. And if that means keeping those windows dirty, then we're going to keep the windows dirty. I want to see those little fingerprints all over. All over. I've said this story before, and I want to say it again. It's been several years ago. I was walking into the local Thriftway, and I was walking down an aisle, and I saw a young little boy with his, I think he was holding the hand of his grandmother. And he got this great big smile on his face when he saw me. He just looked at me, and he knew, he recognized me. And I thought he was going to say this to me. I thought he was going to say, hey, there's my pastor. You know what he said? Looked up at his grandma and says, hey, that guy goes to my church. All right. I'm good with that. I'm all right with that. I go to his church. I do. I do go to his church, and I'm glad I go to his church. You know, you've created a legacy here of just people coming up and growing in this place. Some are on staff now. Some are pastoring. Some are missionaries. Some are in businesses. Some are doing incredible things around the globe, raising families, touching kids, touching other generations, coaching in the community. I've seen them. I walk out on the football field now a couple times a week, and I look at the guys coaching football, and they're guys that I coached in football, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's happening here? Coach Ron, come here. Can you help us run this play? Coach Ron, can you? And it's what's exciting about that is there's a legacy. There's something that people will sense and know about you and about us is that we're connected. That we're connected to God and we're connected to each other, and we want people to know it. We want to celebrate it. So people coming on here for our little ones coming on campus for VBS is incredible. And I want to do this. I want to thank the team. I don't know if you did you show the one of CJ already? Go to that. There he is. Our fearless leader. The theme was spelunking. I mean, you know that what that is? It's cave exploring. So CJ is one of those who grew up here. He was 3 months old when I showed up here at the church. By the way, Annette, today is our 28th anniversary at New Life. Right today, right now, Sunday. Wow, that's incredible. 28 years. What's great about it is I looked, and it's to the day, September 11th. 1988. So but CJ was like 3 months old when we showed up. But guess what? He's leading your kids now. Put a great team together. You see, do you get a sense of what God is doing and what he wants to continue to do in our lives and how we can touch this next generation? Great team of next generation folks here that are helping and leading. We have Colin Reed. We have Sarah Hill. Of course, Annette involved with the interns. Jeremy in the Bible College. And there's so many more. So many more. All those that give their time, their talent, their energy. And what I want to say, and I think all of us can do it together, let's say thank you to them. I think they've done a great job. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's pretty good stuff. And by the way, bottom line, I love this, at Vacation Bible School this summer, we had over 300 kids that showed up, 80 volunteers. And here's the great one, 33 kids gave their lives to Christ. Isn't that incredible? That's amazing. Living sideways. That's what we've been called to do. What does that mean? I mean, some people are saying, what does that mean? It means this. It means showing God's love through hospitality. Your neighbors, your friends, your family members. I think we've underestimated the power of hospitality in our Western culture, because in the Eastern cultures, in the Middle Eastern cultures, they understand the power of hospitality. You know what hospitality does? Brings us all together and puts us on even ground. That's what it does. It doesn't matter if you own a business or you don't own a business. It doesn't matter if you're a doctor or you're not a doctor. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher or not a teacher. When you come together and you eat a meal together or you share lives with one another, you're all on equal ground. That's exactly what hospitality does. You know what hospitality does in the world we live in today? It battles cruelty. It battles the cruel, unsettled world that we live in. That's what we see Jesus doing all the time. It's hospitality. Do you know this? I'm going to say this. I think hospitality is the vehicle, the essence of the vehicle that brings the gospel the most effectively. I'm just going to say it. Your words are great. Love it. Love it when you preach. I'm glad you know the four spiritual laws. I'm glad that you get deep, and you need to get deep in God's word. But I'm going to tell you where it comes out. It should secrete out of our pores with our kindness, our words, our hospitality. That's what the work of God's Holy Spirit with the word in your heart should do. It shouldn't make you just a brainiac, a theologian, someone who really understands everything there is to understand. Those things are important, but where it comes out is in these hands, these feet, and these words. That's where it's powerful. And that's what hospitality does. In fact, was it a month or so ago, we hosted a community event here called the Dahlia Run. It was started by some folks in our church. We still host it here. They have over 500 runners that come here. And you think, well, that's not real spiritual. They're just coming to run. You want to talk about hospitality. You want to talk about touching people's lives. That is a great way to do it. It's a wonderful way to touch people's lives. And these things I'm telling you about have only taken place in the last couple months. It's your effort to reach to community. And I'm so thankful that we get to do this today, that we get to be thankful and celebrate what happened here yesterday on this campus. I mean, it was amazing. Canby Cares, our taco feed. And it was incredible. Now, let me tell you what this was. This was a bigger-than-us thing, can I say it? And I feel so good about that. This was a collaboration or collaborative effort of Canby Community led by Joyce Struby, who's here on our staff. But she led this in the community, connecting with Chamber of Commerce, connecting with our police, connecting with our fire, connecting with our schools, connecting, connecting, connecting. We had here other churches that were involved. I loved it. Saw other pastors. Got to hang out with them from our community. Volunteers that helped from other churches. Can I tell you what we did yesterday goes deeper than even... It goes deeper in that you're offering services to folks, and I'll tell you about those in a moment. It goes deeper than that. What it does is it opens the heart of Christ up here. It brings it into community. See, look at that. The guy on the left's kind of homely, but I like the kid on the right. There you go. Isn't that great? And what we were able to do is we were able to just come together and provide things for folks that maybe that couldn't otherwise provide for themselves. There were medical services here. There were dental services here. For those that may not got a peek in building number one, there were 10 dentist chairs lined up being busy the whole time. There were dozens and dozens of people serve through dental services. So expensive today to do that. Vision care, so expensive today. That was all provided free. No questions asked. No insurance asked for. No identification asked for. Nothing was asked for. Please come and experience the love and care of Jesus Christ through this place. Amazing. It was amazing. We've seen this vision come and continue to come to fruition. What does it mean? What does it look like to live sideways? The great thing about this is there were about 200 volunteers here. Many of you are here today who volunteered yesterday. So we want to say a big thank you to you. As a matter of fact, I want to give you a big thank you. Thank you. I want to introduce the lady behind the tacos. Becky, stand up, please. Would you do that? There's our lady behind the tacos. Yes. Yes. I know all of them. Didn't they good? Yeah, we do. I'll tell you what, if you get a taco, you get Jesus with that taco, by the way. I just want you to know that. Something different about her tacos. They come with the Holy Spirit. And you're being witnessed to, you're being ministered to. And for Annette and I, Becky and Jim are our heroes. So we just love what God does and how he works through them. So thank you for all of those that volunteered. We want to tell you how much we appreciate you. Where does this come from? Where's the seed of this? Where does the heart come from? There's a scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. It says this. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Nothing out of vain conceit. Rather in humility. This is what you need to do in humility. You need to value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, your own gain, someone to scratch your back. But each of you to the interest of the others. The others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Wow, imagine that. How many times do we get an advantage and we use that advantage to advantage us further? Just saying. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That's where we get this from. That is your bloodline. That is the father of your faith. This is the one who redeemed you. The one we want to model, the one we want to live like, the one we want to be like, the one we want to become. What does it say here? It says he didn't take the advantage he had with God to hold on to. What he did is he took that advantage and he gave it to you. He gave it to me. How does that come? It comes in the form of his life, his death, and his resurrection. We have been saved by his amazing grace and the fact that he did not hold on to his advantage. Can I tell you what the gospel means to me in a lot of different ways? You know, there's different ways you can say it. Really? Here's what it means to me. It's those who have been given an advantage of some sort, who do not hold on to that advantage, but they share that advantage and they give that advantage to others. What advantage, what gifts do you have? What are the talents you have? That's what you're being challenged here. I mean, you're being challenged by our Lord Jesus. And he's saying, what is your advantage? His was being in heaven, you know, that's pretty big. I mean, he had the advantage of all advantages. And I was thinking about this morning. I thought, okay, thank God I'm not. But I'm thinking, if I were him, what would I be doing? I'd say, you know what, the rest of you, you know where you can go? I'm just hanging out here, you know, because really, that's the human sinful nature. We want to hold on to whatever we have to continue to further us, our advantage. When it says that Jesus took his advantage, did not hold on to that. And he said, I want to help others. That's why we're here. That's why we did what we did yesterday. This has been in the Genesis for a while. This has been fomenting for a while. And how do we take the advantage of the gifts and the resources God has given us to help others? How do we take advantage of this beautiful campus? Not for ourselves. How do we take advantage? Excuse me, Becky, but how do we take advantage of a great gal who makes great tacos? How do we take advantage of that? I mean, and what the thing I love about Becky, she doesn't care. That's why she's here, is to give that advantage away. How do we do that? How do we keep doing that? That's the challenge. And this is what we experienced yesterday. Taking whatever advantage God has given us and not holding on to it, but sharing it with others. That is the gospel message. That is the good news. That's the center of the good news. That's what it is. That's where it's at. You can try to explain it a lot of other ways.
But that is the bottom line explanation. I am here today because I have a Lord and Savior who did not hold on to his advantage, but he gave it to me so that I could have everlasting life. What are we giving away? How are we using the things that we have advantage over? We had a great day. We had a wonderful time. I'll go ahead and show those pictures up there, George, about we had just a wonderful opportunity to share. Look at there. There's the dentist. Look at that. That's in building one. Your building one was transformed into a triage, it looked like. And that's what building one looked like. And building four back here, or what building was it back? Six. Okay, there's a bunch of them. We did haircuts, eye, vision. We had our fire department there. Chief Jim Davis was here. Jim and I are really, really good friends. We've known each other for about 20 years, and it's good to have him in our community. But you get to see all, look at this. Isn't this great? Volunteers, Pastor Larry Park's wife, there's some of our folks, people from other churches. Look at the right-hand corner, that's three Annettes right there. Literally, those are three Annettes right there. That was a vortex. I walked into that, and I went, whoa, three Annettes, what's going to happen? I wonder if the planets are going to line up or what's going to happen here, you know. But it was great. There are, that's our orientation. Over about almost 200 volunteers came and were part of Canby Cares Taco Feed. It was our first run here on the campus, and we, I think, thoroughly enjoyed it. We're going to debrief, talk about some things we can do better. But most of all, how do we continue to open our heart, our advantage, meaning resources, time, talent. How do we open that up to more of the community that lives can be changed and touched? I'm telling you what, you fix an aching tooth, you've changed somebody's life. You take somebody who has 20/40 vision or what, you change and you give them 20/20, you've changed somebody's life. You give somebody a taco with ice cream and corn on the cob, side dishes, you change somebody's life. You absolutely change somebody's life. We want to look and see. God, help us continue to do that. So I'm going to challenge you today this way. We're going into a new season. We took this Sunday to talk about this, and we're going to move in to talking about family. Listen, let me say this. If you're single, a young adult, you're thinking, that's not going to apply to me. Can I say this? You're the one that needs to be here probably every single Sunday to hear this, okay? So I'm just including you in this, all right? Because sometimes, I'm out. No, you're not. No. Part of family life. We're also going to talk about sexuality in the biblical perspective. Our kids today are struggling with these things. We're going to hit some subjects that there might be hard for some to hear, but we need to hear it because it's going to be encouraging and it talks to us about God's word. So we're going into this, and you need to know that there's a deep care. There's a deep care, I think, for all of us from Jesus, and I want you to know I have a deep care in my heart for you and what God's doing in your life, and I think family is a place that we can start. I said this on our Facebook. I said it this way. I often hear this phrase. People say this to me. Well, yep. You're a pastor. You have to love people. You have to care for people. That's your job. That's your profession. It's not that easy, folks. It doesn't just happen like that. You know, it doesn't happen like that. Because sometimes I don't. Sometimes we get ticked off. Sometimes we wonder, why can't people get their act together? I mean, you know, just come on and help me out here, you know? Let me live a little more comfortably, you know. I mean, I want you to do well. But I think about that, and this is where I take it. There's a reflection that I have to. I really, when I hear that, I have to ask myself, because that's a good time to pause. Why do I love people? Why do I care for people? I think all of us should probably ask that, whether you're a pastor or not. And I've come to this conclusion. Almost all the time, notice almost all the time, I love people because Jesus loves people and I want to do what he does. That's why. So you are loved. And to find ways for you to become more like Jesus, three words we use, and here it is, formula. You want it right now. Here it is. Connect,
You got to connect. Got to connect to Jesus. Got to. Got to connect to each other. Sorry, this is not a solo sapien flight. Have to do this with others. Some of you are going, oh man, just leave me with Jesus, I'll be fine. You think you'll be fine, but you're not. You need to connect, and you need to grow. Growing's hard. You heard Pastor Dave last week, how to get unstuck. Yeah, he's talking to me about it. I go, oh man, I'm stuck in some places. So, you know, it's hard to get unstuck. But it's God's design for us that we don't get stuck, that we grow. We do, but he wants us to keep growing. Find ways that that happens. There are plenty of ways. You saw the pamphlet. Hold that up again, this one right here. Yeah, there you go. Everybody, if you got one, hold one up, just kind of like a banner. This is how you can grow. This is how you can connect. This is how you can grow. This is also, and I love the way the process of growing happens. Recovery, Bible, MTI, can be about you. There's so many resources you have to grow. Can I say this? You get to heaven, and Jesus says, why didn't you grow? And you say, well, I don't know. Were you at Canby Foursquare? Yeah. You don't have any excuse. None. Sorry. Nice try. You have no excuse not to grow. Plenty of avenues. Growth means you got to step out. Growth is the hard thing. Growth is you get out of your comfort zone. Growth is taking the first step and not waiting for someone to come and talk to you. We want to do that. We love you. We do. I do. But you got to take the first step, man. You got to take those steps. And then what do we do after that? We serve. Serving is part of our redemption. Serving is part of our recovery. Serving is part of that. If you just connect and just start to grow in the Bible and that, it's wonderful. But you're missing part of it. Part of it is serving. Because there are some amazing things that happen when you serve. Amazing. Connect, grow, and serve. Would you bow your heads? Worship team, come on up. We're going to close with this song. God is so good. Father, I want to thank you today for the time that we were able to spend together. I just pray it's profitable. You know, profitable for your kingdom in every one of our lives. So we take something home, we'd say, yep, there it is. That's what I need to do. That's what I need to focus on. Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for how you continue to cause us to grow and open our hearts and open our resources. Lord, I want to say this, and I think I can say this for everyone in this room. Thank you for not holding on to your advantage. Thank you. Because we'd all be going to hell. We don't hear that often, but we would be, whatever that hell is for, even on this planet, on this earth, we wouldn't have hope if it weren't for the fact that you didn't hold on to your advantage and you came and you shared that advantage with us through your life, your death, even the death of the cross and your resurrection. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.